If you have your Bible this morning, would you turn to the third book of the New Testament, the Gospel of Luke, chapter 6, Luke chapter number 6. I want to read a few verses here. We're going to start with a psalm. I'll just, for sake of time, we'll put it on the screen, and then we'll turn back to the book of Genesis chapter 1. But if you just hold your spot there for just a moment in Luke chapter 6, and I'll read these verses, if you want to write them down, out of the 11th Psalm, Psalms 11, just reading those first few verses. In fact, why don't we do this? We'll make our confession together. All right. If you need the words, they'll be up on the screen here. And I just ask you, if you believe it, let's confess it. All right. So let's just make this confession together. Ready? This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. God's word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. By his truth, I am set free. Free indeed. I'm ready to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the word of God. My mind is alert. My heart is open. My spirit is receptive. I'll never be the same. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Psalms 11, beginning in verse 1, we read these words. In the Lord I put my trust. How can you say to me, flee as a bird to your mountain? For look, the psalmist David here has people telling him, hey, you better run. For look, the wicked, they're putting an arrow in their bow. And they're hiding behind the shadows. They're making that arrow ready that they may shoot secretly at the upright in heart. Verse 3, if the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? And then verse 4, the Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, he's aware of everything that's going on. And his eyelids test, examine the sons of men. That phrase in verse 3, if the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? I want to use as a theme this morning. And as we consider, in fact, today in the next two Sundays, God willing, I want to share a message on just, he asked the question, if the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? Here's what I believe the righteous can do. The righteous can repair the foundations. Yes. Amen. And so that's just be a little theme here today, and God willing, next 2 weeks, repair the foundations. And God ordained, he established certain institutions as foundations for his blessing to take place in a society. And those foundations, those institutions are marriage and family. They are the government. And I know government can certainly have its flaws, but the government institution itself was established by God. Just like family. Certainly not every family is perfect, but the family institution was founded by God. And then also the church. So the next 3 weeks, repair the foundations, and it's the emphasis today will be on that foundation of marriage and family. And of course, marriage and family has been attacked since the Garden of Eden. some have noticed that when Adam, and now again, just going by what the scripture reads, when Adam was there alone, it doesn't say anything about Satan showing up. But when Eve was there and the marriage was there, then he showed up. And so marriage and family is so important. It's a foundational structure here for us. And Jesus has these words in Luke chapter 6 about the importance of foundation. He says in Luke 6, beginning in verse 46, but why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things which I say? Let's let that sink in just a moment. Why do you call me Lord, but you're not living that out? See, it's possible to have the right words, but not the right heart. It is possible to be religious but not righteous. We can know about God and not know God. So it is, he says, you got the words. In fact, in the Bible, when we read about the judgment at the last day, Jesus said, some will say to him, Lord, Lord, didn't we do this? Didn't we do that? They were religious, and they were doing what they thought was something for the Lord, but they never had a relationship. Jesus will have to banish them because he says, I never knew you. Not because you weren't good enough, you didn't measure up enough. Jesus measured up for us. But it's in believing and receiving Jesus as Lord that his righteousness is credited to us. We have no righteousness to offer God on our own. So, but when we believe in him, then there is that corresponding work of grace. We don't want to be Christian in name only. We want to be Christian in truth. So he says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things which I say? Whoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them, I'll show you whom he's like. He's like a man. And the scripture in Matthew says he's like a wise man, building a house, who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently against that house. Brothers and sisters, we're going to have our battles in this life as individuals, as couples, as families, whatever walk of life we may be in, we're going to have our battles. We're going to have those vehement winds and storms and trials that will come our way. But he says they came against that house but could not shake it because it was founded on the rock. It had a solid foundation. And thank God, though these foundations have been attacked, they have not been destroyed. But they've been damaged, so let's repair those foundations. So then he goes on in verse 49 and says, but he who heard and did nothing is like a man who built his house on the earth without a foundation, against which the stream beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. So repair the foundations. And then two truths that I believe of how we can. You know, it's one thing to say, well, let's repair the foundations, okay? What does that mean? How? Well, I believe there are two ways that we can do that today, and I would just summarize them like this. In fact, if you turn back to the book of Genesis, first book of the Bible, Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter number 1, if you hold your spot there. Repair the foundations. Would you say that with me? Repair the foundations. Marriage and family. Let me read you this. I want to read a couple verses in Genesis chapter 1 and then in Genesis chapter 2. But let me give you this first truth that I believe we can live out, and it's found in Hebrews 13:4. I want to read it from the New Living Translation. Hebrews 13:4, you can follow along on the screen, then we'll look at Genesis 1. The Bible says this, give honor to marriage. Would you say that with me? Give honor to marriage and remain faithful to one another in marriage. God will surely judge people who are immoral and those who commit adultery. The first way that we can repair the foundation today is that we can honor marriage. Honor marriage. Before I read these verses, you might say, but Brother Rocky, I've been divorced, or I've been this, and or I've been that. We're not here to condemn you. We want to encourage you and support you. But regardless of our state, whether we're married, whether we're single, whether we're separated, whether we're divorced, whether we're widow, whether we're widower, we can still honor or value marriage. And that's what God calls us to do. And so that's how we can repair this valuable. I mean, this was the first foundation that God laid. The first institution was the foundation of marriage and family. And the Bible says this in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. And he says, then God said, let us make man in our image. Father, Son, and Spirit working together. According to our likeness, let them have dominion over the fish, the birds, over cattle, all the earth, and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man, or humanity, in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them. See, God wants to bless us. He did from the start. It was his heart right off the bat. It says he blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, have dominion. So God wants to bless us. The scripture says, he said, be fruitful and multiply. God wants us to be fruitful together in his will, to come together in a holy accord, holy matrimony, one accord. And he said, I'm blessing you. I'm placing my blessing on you so that you can be fruitful and multiply and have dominion over this area that I'm giving into you. Not just so that we boss. Notice there wasn't dominion over one another, over other people. It was dominion over the earth so that the earth could be productive and blessed. He wanted it to be. He said, I'm showing you how to take care of this garden. Now you go do the same thing. I'm giving you that blessing so that you can prosper and thrive where you are. But it's done God's way. It's honoring what he honors. And he says here he created male and female. And both husband and wife, male and female, are important in the marriage foundation. Now, I'm not bashing anyone, but even statistics, I'm not talking about just scripture, even statistics reveal the advantages of God's design. Because we look at things like, just from, again, you're not under a death sentence if you came from a broken family. Does everyone understand? Thank God, he cares. He's reaching out to us. But it's just simply that there are advantages to being raised by mom and dad. And there, you know, it can be helpful in having strong family relationships. Healthy family is beneficial to all. So it can help that young person say no maybe to the drugs or being lured away to the gang or whatever it may be. I'm not saying it's always. I'm simply saying those things, that some of those are exceptions rather than the rule. The rule is it's a blessing to go God's way. That's all. Help just repair the foundations. Honor marriage. The scripture again says here that God blessed them. Again, we're not, if you've been through the heartache and grief of a divorce, you don't need anyone bashing you and telling you how hard it was. We're not here to condemn you. We're here to say God knows, God cares, and God offers grace. And he can help us, and he can heal us. And you say, I messed up. You know what? I said it before we started the message. God gives us an opportunity to keep going and start again. He can heal us. I like the phrase, a marriage rebuilder. Maybe the first one didn't turn out like we wanted, we were hoping. It fell apart. But by God's grace, I want to be healed and I want to be a marriage rebuilder. And we can build, we can honor marriage. Again, you don't have to be married. Single people can honor marriage and build it up. Over in chapter 2, Genesis chapter 2, the scripture says this, verse 20. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 20. So Adam gave names to all the cattle, birds of the air, and every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper comparable to him. Isn't that something? God gave Adam an object lesson. And he said, I want you to go ahead and see how everything, how they have family, they're kin, they're related to one another, they're matching, they have partners and so forth. And he realized, I'm kind of by myself here. I have God, but there's no one that's just like me. And so the Bible says this in verse 21. It says, and the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in its place. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, he made into a woman and brought her to the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Some have said God brought Eve out of Adam's side, not from his, like down his foot where he would be over her, or from his head where he would be under her, but by the side where they would be heirs together of the grace of life. And so he goes on and he says this in verse 23. And verse 24. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined or cleave to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. So God designed, in fact, let me emphasize this or say that male and female are equal. We are not the same. I'll say that again. Male and female are equal. God created us with equal value. In Christ, even, we are equal. But male is not female, and female is not male. God designed us as compatible opposites. Again, we're not one better than the other. We're both important, both needed, both good, both God's design, male and female. And again, I know many of us, I say us, have experienced a degree of brokenness and even misunderstanding in our sexuality. Again, it's not to condemn anyone, but that's why we need to repair the foundations. We need to first know God's love for us. We need to know God's heart. We need to know God's design, and we need to know God's will. Because if we will enter into God's design and God's will, we are placing ourselves in the fullness of God's blessing. Repair the foundations. Honor marriage. Would you say honor marriage?
Honor
marriage. Let me get back to that chapter 2. And again, that scripture says this. I want to look at that verse 24 one more time. Verse 24, therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. It's so important in where we have experienced maybe some brokenness, maybe some misunderstanding in our sexuality, that Jesus is a healer, and he is a restorer, and we can be made whole in those areas, but we just have to be willing to come to God. See, if we will receive Jesus as Lord and know God as our Father, I really believe this is the key to the Christian life. It's in knowing God as Father, not just knowing this religious rule and that thing and that. It's knowing God as Father and growing in Christ's likeness, that we grow in healing, we grow in wellness, we grow in wholeness. Because the more we become like Christ, the more whole we become. So repair the foundations, honor marriage. I'll state the obvious here, all right? Ready? Sometimes it's uncomfortable to talk about our sexuality in church, okay? Not trying to make you sweat. But who thought of marriage? Who thought of marriage? Who designed marriage? Who thought of sex? When God said he looked on everything and it was very good, it was good. Sex is good. Thank you. Y'all were all thinking. Sometimes I know it can come across in a church setting like, oh, it's dirty, it's nasty. No. Sex is God's design. It's good. It was blessed. Immorality is what's sin. See, immorality, let me read this. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Let me get there. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, beginning in verse 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 15. The Bible says this. Sorry, y'all, this is a newer Bible. This page is the one to stick. It says, do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Speaking to Christians now. Shall then I take the members of Christ and make them members of a harlot? In other words, join them to immorality? Certainly not. Do you not know that he who is joined to a harlot is one body with her? For the two, he says, shall become one flesh, but he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. And so that context, when he says that he blessed them and it says that the two shall become one, now there is an application where we've been married coming up on how many years? All right. 32 years. But we're still in the process of becoming one. We're still learning, growing, working out differences, harmonizing, trying to do all of it. But there is a sense where two become one with the physical act and the gift of marriage. in sexuality. And see, marriage is a covenant. The Bible says marriage is the holy institution which God loves. And we're not familiar with covenant, I don't think, a lot in our culture. But it's covenant is so important. In covenant, we give ourselves to one another in love. Contract is, I'm going to limit my giving of self to you because I don't know if I can trust you or not. If you violate this, I'm going to take you to, you know, and sometimes we need contracts to be wise, to protect ourselves, maybe to protect others. But a covenant is based on love and trust, and it's not just, I'm going to get in this to see how much I can give out of it. I'm going to get in this to see how much I can give and we can grow together. It's giving ourselves to one another. That's the, in fact, if we live in the truth of covenant, it's powerful. It strengthens. Covenant is strengthening when it's lived the right way. Covenant is so valuable. The Bible says that our relationship with God, our salvation, the very forgiveness of our sins and our entrance into the family of God is a covenant. So covenant is important. So when someone attacks marriage and family, they're attacking the covenant of God. And God designed our sexuality. See, marriage is, there is a uniqueness and there's something special about the marriage covenant. And sex is a gift that God gave that's exclusive. It's not meant for everyone. It's meant for husband and wife together because God designed it to, because in that gift, we can be vulnerable. We can be hurt and we can hurt someone. And so God says, I've put limits on it. I want you to enjoy it, but I want you to enjoy it within the boundaries of a loving commitment of marriage so that it's something that's useful and blessed and good and not something that harms. Because it's like the proverb compares it to fire. Fire is good. It can produce warmth and heat and energy, but if it gets out of the fireplace... then it can be damaging, it can be harmful, it can be destructive. And immorality takes what God gave as a gift to be shared in love and commitment in the covenant of marriage and takes it out of its proper context and out of the covenant and out of the commitment and love and places it outside of the fireplace, so to speak, and it can be damaging and harmful and hurtful. And God loves us and He doesn't want to see us hurt. Repair the foundations. Honor marriage. Would you say it with me? Honor marriage. Then the Bible says, let me finish up those last couple of verses here. Verse 19 says, do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? You were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Repair the foundations, honor marriage, and then I'll close with this one. Would you turn to Ephesians chapter 5? Ephesians chapter 5. Honor marriage, strengthen family. Honor marriage, strengthen family. This is how we can repair this valuable foundation. Aren't you glad that we have God's word to help us and guide us, to build our lives on the rock? The storms are coming either way, brothers and sisters. Let's be wise. Let's do it God's way so that when they come, our house doesn't collapse and fall. Again, I want to keep stressing this. If you have been through, maybe you're in a fragmented family right now, you're not condemned. God loves, He cares. And you can be a part of His family, regardless of whatever our biological family situation may be. They're not designed, you know, God didn't design them to compete with each other. But in those instances where maybe we don't even have physical family nearby, or maybe there has been a disruption, God wants us still be involved in a family. Repair the foundations, honor marriage, strengthen family. Ephesians 5:33 says this. Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself. Let the wife see that she respects her husband. Love and respect. Then verse 1 of chapter 6. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with the promise, that it may be well with you, and that you may live long on the earth. See, everyone has a responsibility, don't they, in the family. Verse 4, and you fathers, and of course that would include moms, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. Loving, respecting, training, honoring, these are foundations. This is a truth that we've got to live out every day, practically, day in and day out. Sometimes we get on each other's nerves. Sometimes there's a contention and a little bit of division and wall, but we got to keep coming back together. Keep coming back together, staying together, praying together, seeking the Lord, building, repairing, healing, forgiving, loving, respecting, honoring, training. Keep doing it God's way. Strengthen that family structure. And then he says, in fact, I want to go back to that. If the foundations are destroyed or damaged, what can the righteous do? We can repair the foundations. I want to ask you this. What are some practical ways we can live out this truth? Just think about it a second. What are some practical ways we can strengthen the family structure? Ours or anyone's for that matter. What are some ways we can strengthen the family structure? Just to give you a moment while you're thinking, if you've been, you know, we've been through damage, you've been hurt, again, God cares, God can heal, and he's inviting us to come to him for grace today. To come for grace, to be healed, to be strengthened, to be encouraged, and to just seek to follow the Lord and to do it his way. If we know Jesus as Lord, we are in God's family. Any ideas, just if you would just lift your, yes, okay, brother, yeah. Okay, to trust, that's one way we can strengthen family, yes. Patience, we can be patient with one another, thank you, yes.
Open two-way communication.
Keep the lines of communication open two ways, yes, sister.
Not being led by your emotions.
Okay, not being led or kind of dominated by our emotions, because they'll want to do so, won't they? Yes. Praying, okay, to pray together. We can pray together, to pray for one another. It's a way we can strengthen the family. Anyone else? Okay, to listen. That's good. Be quick to listen, right? Slow to speak, slow to get angry. Yes, brother.
I would say family inclusion.
Okay, so to be inclusive, to include your family in what you're doing. Yes.
Forgiveness.
Is a way we can strengthen the family, sister. Kindness. Doesn't kindness go a long way? Just out in public. Just being out in public. Kind. You know, kindness can open doors. Anyway, yes.
Speaking blessings over one another, over the family. Speaking the word of God over your household.
Thank you. Speaking blessings to one another. Speaking God's word to one another. Over your families, over your households. All right. Those are great. Y'all want to write a book? What's that?
You gotta be walking in forgiveness to do that.
Yes, you gotta walk in forgiveness, no doubt. Forgiving because we have been so graciously forgiven by God. How about, I thought of this one too. How about respecting boundaries? That especially, you know, maybe my, you know, son, daughter grown and they're out on their own, and I want them to do it kind of my way. It's all right to be an influence, to give coaching, give wisdom, especially if they ask, but then let's not be the enforcer. Let's trust God to be the enforcer and to kind of keep it healthy, all right? One more. Anyone else? Sacrifice, yes. That is the nature of covenant, isn't it? To sacrifice. Repair the foundations. Honor marriage. Strengthen family. The disintegration of marriage and family, it takes a negative toll on a church and a society. Again, healthy marriages and families are good for all. It's a blessing. I want to just close with this. In fact, I would like to invite the worship team back up. If maybe you just look at your own life, your own family situation and say, you know, there is an area where I need healing, maybe just, you know, from my past coming from, there's even some resentment there, maybe from, you know, just discord in the family, Maybe there's been some brokenness in sexuality and we've been involved maybe in some areas or relationships. Again, you're not condemned, but you can be forgiven and you can be made well, whole. But will you just commit to honor God's way? Would you just do it the Lord's way and seek to follow Him? So I want to just ask you just to, can we just bow our heads right now and just go to the Lord in prayer and just let me speak to your heart and then let God just have His way. If you believe there is that area of need today, and maybe you do need to turn from something. I don't know what it is. Maybe just a mindset, a mentality, whatever it may be. Maybe from, you know, in some areas involved in relationships that aren't honoring to God. I don't know that, but you do. Maybe there's a need to repent. In other words, to turn to God and want to embrace and say, Jesus, I really want to do it your way. I want to ask you today to receive God's forgiveness. Receive God's love, His mercy, and His grace. And then look to Him to strengthen you to do His will. So, Father, we thank You today for Your goodness. Thank You for Your blessings, Lord. I thank You. I thank You for marriage. I thank You for family. There was a time growing up, Lord, you know, I had my own issues with my parents. But I'm thankful for the parents You gave me now. I'm thankful for Kim. I'm thankful for our daughter. I'm thankful, Lord. It is a blessing, and I'm grateful. I'm thankful for just the marriage institution, the foundation and family, Lord. I'm thankful for everyone here. I'm thankful for every single. I'm thankful for everyone who's maybe lost a loved one, for everyone who may or may not have children, everyone who may or may not have living parents. Lord, they're important in Your family and they're important in this family. And I thank You for them. I just pray that You would just meet needs today. Encourage hearts, Lord, whatever that area may be. Bring Your healing grace upon them. In Jesus' name, would you just keep your heads?